Well, it's a joy to be back this morning. I hope you got some rest last night. And you looked a little tired yesterday, but I trust that as the week progresses, you will get a little more rest. And Thanksgiving is only, what, 3 weeks away, right? You leave in 3 weeks, something like that. Take your Bibles, turn to 1 Kings chapter 18. 1 Kings chapter 18. While you're turning, let me thank Dr. Bob and Dr. Stephen for the invite to come to chapel. I was talking to Wes yesterday, and I said, I sure hope the students here understand what they have in this university. You go to so many universities, and you look around, and they are void of the spirit that you find here. So I hope you will take opportunity to think about that and just thank God for what you have. I know you get worn out. I know you get overwhelmed at times. But the Lord's preparing you for what's out there. And in a few years, you'll say, man, I sure wish I was back there. So at any rate, I wanted to at least turn your attention to that. 1 Kings chapter 18. I've got a lot to say, and I've got 27 minutes, so we better get started. Look at verse number 1. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. And Elijah went to show himself unto Ahab, and there was a sore famine in Samaria. Drop down to verse 17. And it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that they have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people, and said, how long we a halt between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the passage of Scripture we read. Thank you for the life of Elijah. Thank you, Lord, for those in the Word of God who seemingly had such a great desire to be used of God. May it be so today with each of us here. Bless this chapel message. Help us to hear what you want us to hear. And use it to edify your people in Jesus' name. Amen. I read a statement one time, and the statement was this. Listen carefully. True conversion to Christ produces a desire to do something for God. Let me read it one more time. True conversion to Christ produces a desire to do something for God. I thought about that a while, and I said, okay, if that's the case, then there should be people in the Word of God who had faith in the Lord that would want to do something for Him. And immediately I thought of the Saul of Tarsus, who, after he was knocked off his horse and turned to the Lord, and he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then I thought of Jesus when he healed that demon-filled man, and the man wanted to immediately go with Jesus, and Jesus says, no, you go back to your home. And so he went back to the house and set up a print shop and printed all kinds of things that evidently he passed out and were telling about what great things God had done for him. And so maybe the statement is pretty much true. If you're truly saved, you want to do something for God. As you read through the Scriptures, you find that the Lord, for whatever reason, chooses to use different people in different degrees. The question is why? I mean, why doesn't He just use everybody alike? Perhaps it's because there are those that aren't willing to pay the price to be used. You know, we're living in a me generation. I think I said that yesterday. If I didn't say it yesterday, I said it to my church on Sunday. I was following a car, a little lady in a car. I don't know, she was in her, I guess, early 20s. You can always tell because they're putting out lipstick, eyelash stuff, combing their hair, and talking on the phone, and driving with their elbows. And they're always passing me. They're just... And they're usually in a Grand Am. But, you know, she pulled over in front of me, and on the back of her bumper, it said, "It's all about me." And I immediately thought, that girl needs to be saved. Because, folks, it's not about us. It's all about Him. And if you're truly born again, you're going to want to do something for Jesus Christ. Well, Elijah was such a person. And Elijah was willing to pay the price. In chapter 17, he's called Elijah the Tishbite. And by the end of that chapter, he's called Elijah the man of God. My question is, what made Elijah usable for God's purpose? And in chapter 18, we find four key things, and that's what I want to talk to you about. Four essentials to usability. The first one is he learned to wait on God. That's a tough one. That's hard. Because we are people that want instant everything. Verse number 1 says, "It came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah the third year, saying, 'Go show thyself to Ahab.'" He waited for the Lord's leading. He waited over 3 years to hear from God concerning Ahab. Listen to some of the people in the Word of God that learned to wait on God. Joseph was 2 years in prison. He waited on God. Moses waited for the Lord, the Lord's leading. For 40 years he waited for the Lord's leading. Before God called him to rescue the children of Israel out of Egypt. Nehemiah waited 4 months before he could build the walls around Jerusalem. Paul waited 3 years in the desert, being taught by the Lord Jesus Christ before his ministry began. And all of these men did great things for God, but they were willing to learn to wait on God. There's some key benefits of doing that. Chase that phrase through. He waited on God, or just wait on God and so forth. You find the encouragement when you wait on God. Psalm 27, verse 14. "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage. He shall strengthen." That's the word for encourage. He will encourage your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. The word wait is the Hebrew word kwava, and it has the idea of an expectant mother waiting for the birth of her child. It shows a sense of expectation, anticipation. Some of you folks have been here, like my son, for 3.5 years. Waiting. Eager to graduate so that you can get out and go do what the Lord hopefully has laid upon your heart. 3.5 years. Waiting. Enduring. I know some of you have to endure the professors. Keep this in mind. The professors have to endure the students. What a wonderful thing to be at a place like this where the professors actually care for the students. Should have gone to the college I went to. It was unbelievable. They didn't care a bit. All they wanted was their paycheck. Wait on the Lord for encouragement. And then wait on the Lord for exaltation. Psalm 37, verse 4. "Wait on the Lord, keep His way. He shall exalt thee to inherit the land." And then wait on the Lord to be established in the will of God. Psalm 40 is a wonderful chapter. "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon the rock, established my goings When did he do that? Verse 1, when I waited patiently on the Lord. And then he put a new song in my heart. Even praise to our God. Many shall see it in fear and trust in the Lord. And then in verse 8 he says, I delight to do thy will. God, when he rescues us and he establishes our going, he puts in us a delight to do the will of God as we wait on him. And sometimes that waiting takes a while. He's got to bring things into our lives and he's got to get things out of our lives. And the process of waiting is a process of getting those things that are in us, out of us, and putting things in us that he needs in us so that we can go do the will of God. And then wait on the Lord to exchange your weakness for his strength. We all know that one. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Literally, they will exchange their strength for God's strength. Whose strength do you want? Yours or God's? You know, in my high school, I was the shortest kid in our high school. Now, this was before you were thought of, okay? This is a long, long time ago. And we had a 600-yard, what they called the run walk in P.E., and they timed us. My legs were so short that where somebody would take one stride, I'd have to take about 14. When I was being taught to drive, I had to sit on a pillow. And everybody knew when I was having driver's ed because I'd be carrying my pillow down to the... I was laughed at. I was mocked. My junior year, I was still only 5'2". We had the 600-yard run walk coming. I hated that. My sophomore years, I walked it because it's called a run walk. Took me 10 minutes. The coach came to me and he says, hey, you need to get some strength in those little bitty legs of yours. I said, I don't know what to do. He says, you need to run. Just run. I said, but I get tired. I get pooped. He says, no, you need to run. So he started me on a running thing. And I ran and I ran and I ran, you know, 10 times across the gym, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I thought, this is ridiculous. Where am I going to use this in my life? And I got to the place where I said, Coach, this is not going to work. He says, I'll tell you what you do. Do you know Larry? I said, oh, yeah, the big guy. This guy was muscle bound, you know. He could put that barbell on his back like that. You know, the barbell was 25 pounds. That's what I used. And I'd do squats. And I'd do 30 squats or so. I was doing pretty good. He'd put like 300 pounds on him. And he'd do 10 squats or something like that. He says, you watch Larry run. Larry was fast. He says, here's the coach says, I want you to do this. I want you to just stay up with Larry. And this run walk, you stay up with Larry. I'm telling you what, when the coach fired that gun, Larry was off, looked like a rabbit. I'm standing there, I'm thinking, I've got to follow him. Boy, I put everything in it. I mean, my little legs were just a chugging away. I mean, I was just going on, you know, and I was actually catching him. And all of a sudden, he saw me. And I realized then he wasn't running fast at all. Because he took off, and when he took off, I took off. Man, I wanted to follow him and beat him. Well, that wasn't going to happen. But I did that and got around minute 33 seconds. I'll tell you, when I was walking away and the coach said, you all right? I said, my head feels like there's 1,000 bees on it stinging me. He says, start walking. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. Just keep walking. And I'm telling you what, it was unbelievable how dizzy I was, and I was ready to collapse. And I heard, I thought it was the band, but it was my heart going, you know, and it was unreal. I thought, oh, to have Larry's strength. You know, we look around and we see people that have talent. Oh, to have their talent. Some of you look around and say, oh, to have their looks. To have what they have. Let me tell you something. What you ought to be looking for is to exchange your strength for God's strength and live that way. And the only way to do it is wait on Him. You've got to wait and wait and wait and wait on Him. Elijah did great things for God because he waited. Now, in chapter 17, verse 1, Elijah speaks to Ahab. In verse number 3, God says, go hide yourself at Cherith's brook. This is the beginning of the 3.5 years of wait. In verse number 8, after the brook ran dry, God says, you go to the widow woman over at Zarephath and she'll take care of you. Now, the point is this, folks. While he's waiting, he's still serving God. He ministered to the widow at Zarephath. Elijah has grown now to see that God is faithful. At Cherith's brook, he brought him food by the raven, kept the water running when it was a drought. And when the water finally ran out, he had someplace else for him to go. And Elijah now is prepared to stand before the king. How did he learn that God was faithful? Because he was there waiting on him. Second thing you need to learn is learn to obey immediately. Chapter 18, verse 1, he says, go show yourself to Ahab. I'll send rain. In verse 2, and he went to show himself to Ahab. That's how fast we ought to obey God. In chapter 17, there's a command. Verse 2, there's a command. Verse 3, he obeys. In chapter 17, verse 8 and 9, there's a command. In verse number 10, he obeys. And in verse 36, he says to God, all these things I've done at thy word. If I could say anything to you high school students, learn this early. Obey God immediately. Do what your father tells you to do. Somebody came to me yesterday, stopped me in the dining hall, and what a beautiful dining hall. He said, aren't you the preacher that told that dog story years ago? I said, which dog story? I got a lot of them. Oh, you know about that dachshund. I said, yeah. He says, you need to tell that again. All right. I'm glad you asked. I was 6. I teased my dog. Unbelievable. The little doxy, half a dog high, dog and a half long. German. Mean. And I'd bring my little finger and I'd go up to the dog like this. And the dog's eyes would actually cross. And as a 6-year-old, I thought that was neat. And then he'd start to snarl, and I'd smack his nose and move my hand quick so he didn't bite me. And Dad said, he's going to bite you someday. He's going to get you someday. Came home from first grade. Dog was asleep in the chair. Snuck up behind the dog. Raised up this ear. Raised up this ear. Stapled them together. First German dog that had pierced ears. And before I could move, the dog latched out and grabbed my lip. And I reared back and the dog was hanging on my 6-year-old lip. Ripped through the lip. Dad wanted to kill the dog. Mom wanted to kill me. Mom always loved the dog more than me anyway. So. What I'm saying is learn to obey your father. It'll keep you out of trouble, all right? Learn to obey immediately. Third thing, and I must hurry, he learned to pray in love. Now, you know the story in 1 Kings 18. 1 Kings 18 is a tremendous story of how God used Elijah and how he put down the god of Baal and mocked him. And they put up the worshipers of Baal put up the sacrifice and so forth. And they called on Baal and Baal would not answer. And Elijah says, well, maybe he's sleeping. Maybe he needs to be woken up. And at noon, he still hadn't answered. So Elijah says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take the wood, put it in order. I want you to put the sacrifice on the wood. I want you to take 4 barrels of water. Now, water was scarce. They were in a drought. Pour it on them. Dig the ditch around the... Pour another 4 barrels on it. Third time, pour another 12 barrels of water. And then he prays. Now, understand, Israel was backslidden. And he says... that they might know, verse 37, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people might know that thou art the God, the Lord God, and thou hast turned their hearts back. He was loving in his prayer. He could have called fire down on the backslidden people. But he didn't. He had just called fire down on the sacrifice, and the fire came down and burnt up the sacrifice and the wood and licked up the fire that was in the trenches. He could have called fire down on the people, but he didn't. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 9, where Jesus and the disciples were moving on, and they were the disciples saw people doing something supposedly for God in a different way, and the disciples said to Jesus, Lord, you want us to call down fire and burn them up? And in the King James it says, and the Lord turned. But in the original Greek, it says, the Lord whirled around. He was angry. And he says, you know not what spirit you're of. We need to learn to pray in love. And that's hard. That's difficult. We need to pray in love for those that know not Christ. We need to pray in love. You know, sometimes, I know everyone here has absolutely perfect roommates. They never do anything wrong. They never borrow your stuff. They never get into your foods. They never rip off your Cokes and all that kind of thing, you know. And I know you love them. They're your buddies. They're your friends. But you know, sometimes they have things in their lives that you don't know about that makes them cantankerous. Pray in love. Pray for those that are lost in love. Pray for those that know God to get right with God. But pray in love. You think about, go through, think about those people that prayed in love in the Word of God. Moses prayed in love. Stephen prayed in love. Paul prayed in love. Jesus indeed prayed in love. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. It takes patience to pray in love. Lastly, learn to live in the power of God. Stop trying to do it yourself. Live in the power of God. In verse 41 of 46, don't have time to read it, but Elijah said to Ahab, get thee up, eat, drink. There's a sound of abundance rain. Now understand, it's the sky is crystal blue. And Elijah's saying, there's a sound of abundance rain. There was the power of perception. And he tells his servant, you go over on the top of the hill and see if there's clouds coming. And he went and said, nothing yet. Go again. Nothing yet. Go 7 times. On the 7th time, he says, there's a little bitty cloud. And Elijah says, that's it. The storm's coming. And by the time he got to Ahab, and Ahab got in his chariot and on down, the whole area was solid black with clouds and wind. He had the power of perception. And he had the power of prediction. I want to close with this. I want you to look at verse 46. It says, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. I'm not minimizing academics. You need academics. But academics without God's hand on you are just academics. Academics with the hand of God on you brings you to a place where you can be used of God. Learn as much as you can. Spend as much as you can, time as you can, in the Word of God, with God. Asking God, what do you want me to do? That's what Paul did. Lord, what would you have me to do? And then find out. How do you find out? You learn to wait on God. You obey God immediately. You pray in love. And you live by the power of God. Do you realize what you guys could do with this nation in different churches if every single one would do exactly what God wants you to do? I challenge you. Be that man. Be that woman who's usable for God. Heavenly Father, thank you for the Word. Thank you, Lord, for these students. We pray, Lord, you'd give them a great day, a great week. Lord, help them to prepare well. Help them to spend time with you. Help them walk with you and be used of God for the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.